You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. I'm very, very excited to have Hassan Pinto to chat with me about his entrepreneurial ventures, his world of sports, having been an athlete. In fact, I believe that Phil Knight was right when he said that if you have a body, you're an athlete. So I won't even call you a former athlete. Hassan, tell me what's been going on with your life. Tell me about your ventures. And we'll start with Greatest Fan and Blue Blood.
Well, this week we're actually running our fifth Blue Blood Rivalry 5K road race, and it benefits the Special Olympics of Durham, and it's a really great race. It's in Meadowmont, and what we've done with the race is just a promotional opportunity for us to get our CPG. When I say CPG, our consumer packaged goods, to our core customers, and our core customers are Duke, Carolina, and NC State fans, and those are rivalry fans. Those are fans of the rivalry. And so that event is a marketing event, and it's an event for not only us but our partners who sponsor with us to get in front of that core audience and get their products out. And
any particular age group? Can it be a 5-year-old fan or 85-year-old fan in terms of your offerings with Blue Blood?
Absolutely. So the great thing about rivalry is most of these fans have been involved in a rivalry since they were in their college days or they grew up in the rivalry. So our fans range from 3 to 5 years old as soon as they can walk to 85 years old. And our runners are the same ages, but our core group are the folks who have left college and are 25 to 65. And that's our core group of people who support what we do.
Excellent. So we've been friends for a number of years now. Many people who are listening might not know about the origins of Blue Blood. What was the inspiration? How did it all come together? And then you decided to leave the sport world in a corporate setting and to do this work.
So Blue Blood came about because I was actually exiting a deal that I had with Churchill Downs. And from the Churchill Downs deal was I created Kentucky Derby Party. I created their first entry into the mobile space with Kentucky Derby Championship Racing. And we grew their social network from 0 to 1 million fans. And then Twin Spires, Churchill Downs said, Hassan, thank you for your time. It's time for you to go. And I happily exited that. And we were looking for, like, what was the next thing? What was the next thing that we could do? And a friend of mine out in California was like, hey, man, make a movie. And I kind of chuckled at him. And I said, make a movie. Ha, ha, ha. You know I've got some cash on hand, and you want me to spend it on a movie. So I didn't really take him seriously. But I thought about it. And when you start a brand, you know, a movie is like a Ferrari, right? You kind of park it outside. It gets to the same place just like a Honda, but a Ferrari gets a lot of attention. So I said, well, you know, if my friend base would support me in creating a movie and we could go to Kickstarter, and keep in mind, we went to Kickstarter in 2012. And so that's when Kickstarter was just beginning and crowdsourcing was just beginning. So I said to myself, look, if we can raise $30,000 in 30 days, that's $1,000 a day, I'll invest in this movie. And so we went to Kickstarter, we did a little demo, and every time we told people we were making a movie, everybody got excited. And I saw the excitement in them. And so 30 days later, we actually raised about $60,000, and only 30 went into Kickstarter because you have to pay fees and stuff like that. So the back end deals actually didn't. And we spent about a half million on the film, and with private for private equity, the Kickstarter campaign, some investment by myself. And net-net, we created what I believe is the best film on the Duke-Carolina rivalry ever. It's called Duke Carolina, the Blue Blood Rivalry. Search, and you can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Google Play. You can find it on any video on demand outlet in the world, and it's distributed by Image Entertainment. And you know, it was an inside outside look on rivalry, right? We've heard about rivalry. We've seen documentaries on rivalry, but we never saw a reality documentary. And so what our goal was to take you inside Rivalry. What is it? And we took you inside Rivalry on Duke Carolina Day in Durham and Duke Carolina Day in Chapel Hill. And what we found out was, like, there was this brand sitting there called Blue Blood Rivalry. People of all ages, ethnicities, they engaged it. They wanted to be part of it. And it wasn't just one day. It was the entire year. I mean, there was just like this build up to rivalry. And if your team won two games in that year, it was like one set of fans had something over you for an entire calendar year. So I said, well, what is this brand? And I'm a branding guy. I said, this is something that sits here that nobody has, like, wrapped up. Nobody has really made a connection point. Nobody's attached a brand to. And I said, you know what? If we can attach to a brand to this and create something that's an identity to something that's already there, I could create a great community around it.
Well, you've certainly done that. I've had my students watch it. I've had you come speak to my students around it. I want a sequel. Is there any chance that will happen?
Absolutely, because, you know, another reason why I made these investments in Rivalry is because Rivalry is something that is going to be here. It was here before me, and it's going to be here after me. So Rivalry is something that is going to continue. So if we can build products and services around Rivalry, and sporting events are going beyond just sports, right? So what it is about the fan experience, right? A fan just doesn't want to buy a ticket to an event. A fan wants to have an experience. A fan wants to wake up and have a curated experience from the time he wakes up to the time he gets to the game, and understand after the game what the possibilities are. So in that fan experience, Blue Blood Rivalry is really being a leader, and we're actually showing these universities how to do this. And, you know, we've got folks from the IMG Learfield showing up to our race. We have folks from the athletic department, and we're happy to have their support, and we're happy to show them that what this fan experience is about.
Well, I think you're uniquely qualified to do that. Even though you wear both blues, you are a Carolina athlete, soccer, and yet you reside in Durham, and you have relationships on both campuses. We'll be right back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman and Hassan Pinto on 97.9 The Hill. You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. And we are talking to Mr. Entrepreneur Hassan Pinto, owner of Blue Blood Rivalry. Hassan, let's talk more about you and your interest in entrepreneurship. I think we're very similar in that we work for the big corporate company and we learned a lot. We grew there, but then we had to spread our wings a bit. Tell me more about your entrepreneurial spirit and where all that came from and what's next.
So my entrepreneurial experience, and it wasn't something that I grew up saying, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I think I was a very, very competitive kid. I was a person that saw myself on top of whatever I did. And I was a kid who didn't just want to be good. I wanted to be the best. I always wanted first. And I wanted to be first in line. I wanted to be the fastest. I wanted to jump the highest. I wanted to be first in the classroom. And
now, did that come from mom or dad? Who are you more like?
I don't know, but my mother is really, really competitive. My mom wants to be us to be first. She always would talk about never be content with where you are, and she'd always say, you know, shoot for the moon. And it doesn't matter if you get there. What matters is that you shot for the moon and you see how far you went. So, I you know, those were things that I tried to, you know, really hold. And then I also tried to pass those things down to my kids. Like, we're not shooting for second. We're shooting for first. And so going back to entrepreneurship, you know, the goal in sports was to get me the opportunities to go to colleges that without sports, I may not be able to acquire, you know, just be a part of. And so sports was just basically, for my parents, was that extra thing in my portfolio that I could add that would get me in the doors wherever I wanted to go. So, you know, I followed my parents' plan. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was recruited at Carolina. I was recruited at Duke. I was recruited all over the country. And I said, wow, this thing works. You know, we're shooting for these top schools, these top programs. So after I graduated, I was just like anyone else. I wanted, you know, a green lawn, a decent house, a nice car to drive, and a corner office. But I think my trajectory changed when I went out to California for two reasons, the timing of it. So I graduated from Carolina in 94, 95, and I went out to California and I went to work for the Lakers because if I wanted to work for a sports organization, I wanted to work for what I thought was the best organization in sports and the organization that had the most limelight, the most people, because I felt like going in there, the only thing I could get out of it was meeting a lot of different people. So if you look at the time frame, 94-95, there's something that happened. It's called Windows 95. Windows 95 was we were going into a digital world, right? We were going into a world where things were happening on the internet. And while I was working at the Lakers, I thought I was going to go meet all these film and movie people. But then I saw these nerds who were sitting on the sidelines. And at the time, they were like $1,500 seats. I'm sure they're like $5,000 seats now, that were replacing these movie executives. And it was Steve Jobs. It was Bill Gates. It was Larry Ellison. And those were becoming these cool guys. So I said to myself, those are the guys that everybody wants to talk to. Those are the new guys. That's the new oil. That's the new money. And I wanted to be a part of it. So I was doing my internship. I was working for the Lakers. But I was moonlighting in the background and starting like little websites with Kobe Bryant, Nick Van Exel at the time. Yes. And
you were paying attention.
I was paying attention. And I was trying to aggregate all these guys into fan clubs. And so that was my first foray into entrepreneurship, and I did it. And at the time, I had a partner who saw what I was doing, and he took my business model to Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones created, I forgot the name of the website, but it was like a fan portal. Because Jerry Jones had millions and millions of dollars. But at the end of the day, like, we were competing against Jerry Jones, but I knew how my business model got there because I knew the guy who took it to him and I knew where he got it from. And so at that point, I said, you know, maybe I know something. Maybe I can feel something. Maybe I can feel the market. And the reason the NFL, the NBA, created, you know, things in the collective bargaining agreement where six guys cannot aggregate together and create websites is because of me. And that was the early 90s. I thought we had a couple of business models that were going to work, and they didn't work for different reasons. And, you know, corporations will try to block you in those things.
What a journey from little old Chapel Hill all the way out to Los Angeles and now back home in the Triangle. So tell me more about Blue Blood's new offerings. I know you're talking about media, the podcast. Tell us some more about that.
So when you think about our business, what is it, right? Our business is community. And if you think about it, people who are creating revenue are creating it around community. So right now, Kylie Jenner is the first, like, I think, teenage or 20-year-old billionaire, right? But the question is, what does she do? Why is she a billionaire? Well, she's a billionaire because she has a community of millions of people who follow her and follow her influence. So Marketing 2.0, new media, digital marketing, is all about communities and pushing back products on those communities. So what we at Blue Blood Rivalry, Greatest Fan LLC, are doing is creating niche communities, Duke, Carolina, Border Battle for Ohio State, and should I say the Ohio State and Michigan, and basically creating these rivalry products and then offering them beer back, T-shirts, hats, caps, content. And so the new thing that we've just got into is podcasts. And we've got Blue Blood TV podcast. You can go to BlueBloodPodcast.com. Or you can just search Blue Blood TV podcast on iTunes, Spotify, pretty much every podcast distribution or music distribution outlet. And we're taking a different spin to it, because our show is ultimately going to end up on YouTube Red and Facebook Watch. So we started as a podcast so that we could start to aggregate this audience in a different way, where we're talking about sports, but we're talking about sports with female pundits.
Great overview, and we want to learn more. We want to hear more. 97.9 The Hill. You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We are very, very blessed to have Mr. Hassan Pinto in the studio with us talking about Blue Blood and all of the product offerings. Hassan, please continue. Tell us about where you're going with the podcast.
So, the podcasts are about creating audio, video, content around specific niche audiences. So the podcast stars Cambria Harrow, Natalie Bodie. I play as a moderator. And what I say is, like, I always want to do things a little bit different. When I see sports broadcasts, it's a bunch of guys sitting around a table, overweight, talking about sports. That's boring, right?
Yes.
And so my theory was, if we could have a female perspective on sports and show these guys who are our core listeners that these young ladies know the game as well, and they can offer,
if not better,
and offer a different perspective. And so we came up with the Blue Blood TV podcast. And it's off to a great start. We've got listeners in like 10 different countries, United States, all over the country. And we believe that Duke, Carolina community is a huge community. And all we're doing is trying to aggregate them. So as we aggregate them, we want to tell you about our 5K runs. We want to tell you about our Blue Blood Rivalry Ale. We want to tell you about, our Blue Blood Rivalry Shop. And that's the way marketing works. The way marketing works in the 2.0 era is, it's not good enough to shower a message on terrestrial radio. Now you've got to have vested listeners who are vested in that niche. And then once they like you, they accept you, they buy your product.
Well, I like that model. You're talking about loyalty to a particular school, committed to the rivalry. You're always going to participate, pay attention all year round. And then you're taking that energy and moving it into an actual formal structure where you have almost like plug and play or cafeteria menu of where you want to engage. So Duke, Carolina, all year round, it's something to talk about. We've got a great basketball season going on right now. What's the best of the rivalry? What's the worst of the rivalry?
I think this rivalry is a great rivalry. And the reason why I say that it's a great rivalry is because the rivalry is a respectful rivalry. It's a respectful rivalry in a sense that even a Duke professor who lives in Durham, if his daughter or son gets into Chapel Hill, generally he's okay with it, but he's not okay with it. He's not okay with it because he would maybe prefer his daughter or son to be a Dukie. But at the same time, he respects the university across the road. And similarly, Carolina folks go over there, and there's a lot of cross-pollination. So for me, the respect in this rivalry is the greatest thing about it. And then from a negative perspective, I don't really see any. I only see positivity. And what we're trying to do with the Blue Blood rivalry and the Blue Blood Rivalry 5K, the Blue Blood Rivalry content is to bring these fans together to have a good time, right? I'm all about keeping things fun, having a good time, ribbing each other about the win. And it's all about who gets the win, right? That's the trophy, the win. And I think this rivalry is like a real model for rivalries because it's not physical. It's not angry. It's a cheeky, funny, we got the win.
Well stated. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman.